Chapter 19 of John, verses 1 through 5. John 19, 1 through 5. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the throne, the crown of thorns, and the purple robe. And Pilate said unto them, "Behold the man." Today the Lord hath given this topic to me. And before I go any further, would you bow your heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mighty word. We thank you for your loving gift for us that you gave your son, that we know you love so much, but you also love us, that we may be partakers of eternal life. We thank you for the privilege of opening your words, and we pray that your Holy Spirit will continue in our midst and rightly help us to understand and to rightly divide your word according to your will. This day, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Who is this man? What does the scripture say about him? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In Isaiah, he prophesied, chapter 7, verse 14, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel meaning God with us. Why did the Jews want to kill Jesus? John 10:31, "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him." 10:32 in John, Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" 10:33, "The Jews answered him, saying, For of good works we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." The Jews killed Jesus because he claimed to be the Son of God. A male child is to be born. This was prophesied all the way in Isaiah. He shares the name of God, Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Isaiah 7:17, "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." This is no ordinary child. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Isaiah 9:6. And we know about all the children that were killed because they tried to prevent this from happening. "For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy the devil." Hebrews 2:14. It is very evident that God has taken on human fallen flesh that he might live and die in man's behalf. Who is this child? He shares the name and the title of the God of the universe, a wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. When Nebuchadnezzar saw him in the fiery furnace, he called him the Son of God, Daniel 3:25. The angel said to her, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." This is in Luke 1:28-31. Where was he to be born? All this was prophesied in the Old Testament. Bethlehem, out of these shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Micah 5:2. He was from everlasting, now in Bethlehem's manger. Luke 2:11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." An amazing prophecy. In Isaiah 9:6 states, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." This child that is born shares the titles of the great universe. Another title for this God-man in Luke 2:11, a Savior. This male child who has the titles of God is to be a Savior. This is the Messiah that was to come. How does, in John 6:38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me." In 5:39 of John, "These are the scriptures that testify about me," Jesus said. Here we have a life written beforehand, from B.C. to A.D., all within our word, in the Bible, in the Word. The prophecies dealt with the place of his birth, the manner of his birth, his betrayal, and the manner of his death. In John 1:29, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. In the morning and in the evening, sins were confessed on the heads of a lamb and then slain at the sanctuary. Its blood was then taken into the holy place, transferring sin into the sanctuary. If Jesus is the Lamb, does that mean that he is to die like the Lamb did at the sanctuary? Why didn't the disciples and the spiritual leaders of Israel understand this? What else does the sanctuary teach us about the plan of salvation? John's prophetic words goes beyond Israel as a nation, as this Lamb takes away the sins of the world. And as Wilhelmina has been sharing with us the sanctuary, we become more and more enlightened each day of how the sanctuary works and how our church has brought forward the study of the sanctuary in Scripture and in the religious arena. The Lamb's sin sanctuary, the God-man. How does this all come together? If the law could be changed, Jesus would not have to die. The law. Sin is transgression of the law. 1 John 3:4. There has to be punishment for breaking the law, of the law is lifeless. Therefore, the law cannot be changed. Man cannot decide what is sin. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. We sin, we die. We need a Savior. Only God can forgive sin. Why does this lamb have to die? If God man becomes the lamb, then he is to die for our sins. What else is predicted about the God-man Messiah? And Isaiah gives us several things in chapter 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptability year of the Lord. And in chapter 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. And that's when he confessed the sins on the lamb. And in verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, that means he was to die for us. And Isaiah 53:11, he shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servants justify many? For he shall bear their iniquities. What else is predicted about the God-man? As soon as there was sin, there was a Savior. The sanctuary kept the promise. In his baptism, they saw the Spirit of God descend upon him. He taught in their churches. He healed their diseases. He forgave. He raised the dead. And he raised their dead. Isaiah 56, I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Psalms 22:16 states, they pierced my hands and feet, and they nailed him to a cross. Zechariah 12:10, they will look on me whom they pierced. Psalms 22:18, they divided my garments among them, for my clothing they cast lots. In Psalms 34:20, he guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. So we see in John 19:32-33, then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the others who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. He was their sin offering. After his death, he had a resurrection. In John 11:25, he states, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may be die, he shall live. We are to learn from the two sanctuaries, the earthly and the heavenly sanctuary. First, we want to look at the earthly sanctuary. The day of Pentecost is described as the birth of the Christian church. And within our sanctuary, about 10 Sabbaths we've been studying about the upper room and what all happened in the upper room and what the apostles was doing. So in Luke 24:40, and behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you. This is something that he told the disciples before he left, when he was getting ready to leave. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Joel 2:28 is a prophecy according to the outpouring of God's Spirit upon all flesh. In Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth, to all ends of the earth. And back there in that time, we didn't have as many countries as we have now. So mostly we look at that as the former reign, and it is still ongoing. In the upper room, in Acts 1:12, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode the disciples. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Acts 2:1, and when the day of the Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house with where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. Acts 2:4, 6:14, and 38. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted his voice and said unto them, ye men of Galilee, of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. And there he proceeded to preach all the way through, from the beginning of the prophecy all the way through to the crucifixion of Jesus, and telling them how they had crucified his Savior. Then in verse 38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He offered that to even those that killed him, that nailed him to the cross. And we talked about the former rain and the latter rain. The former rain falls at the sowing time in the east. It is necessary in order that the seed may germinate. Unless the former rain has fallen, there will be no life. The green blade will not spring up. Unless the early showers have done their work, the latter rain can bring no seed into perfection. Many of you, if you've had a garden or you've done flowers or tried to grow things, you know that plants need water to exist. In the latter rain ripens earth harvest. It represents the spiritual grace that prepares the church for the coming of the Son of Man. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the moral image of God is to be perfected in the character. We are to be wholly transformed into the likeness of Christ. If we do not progress, if we do not place ourselves in an attitude to receive both the former and the latter rain, we shall lose our souls. And all this is from Testimonies, page 506 through 508. So we see Jesus performs the dual role. He's the Lamb on earth, and he's the high priest in heaven. We have such a high priest, a minister of the sanctuary, the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man, Hebrews 8:12. That is the heavenly sanctuary. The heavenly sanctuary deals with another phase of our sins, the eradication of sin. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name, but of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 3:5. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is our high priest. There has to be a judgment, as some do not give all of their sins and sinful ways to Jesus. In 2 Timothy 4:1, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. John 5:24 states, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me has eternal life, and cometh not into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. His resurrection assures us of our resurrection. Jesus invites us to his Father's house after the sin problem is solved. In John 14, in my Father's house, he says, are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He taught we too shall have a resurrection. When he comes to resurrect his saints and change us into himself immortal. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Hebrews 12:22-23. But you are come unto Mount Zion and into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. This is the man we are to behold, and this is why. In him is forgiveness and life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. There is none other name. Behold the man. Behold the man. He is the Lamb, the sacrifice, the giver of the Holy Spirit, the high priest, the judge, the resurrector, the giver of life eternal. He will take you to the general assembly. Everything is in the hand of God, dear son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you would like to be in that number, would you please stand as I close with prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that teaches us all things and that enables us to follow through according to your will and to your dictates in our lives. Father, as we stand before you today, we ask that you renew in us a right spirit, and that as we go forward, that those that see us will know that we are your children because of our continence and because of the life that we live. And as we close this day, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.